Reunion. Hello, y'all. I was selling crack on a private jet up in the hell and back. But no confusion, this a reunion. Hello, y'all. Welcome back. Get murder here. He counting money. He said, can't man, the hell with rap. I'm only here to shit on niggas and piss on bitches. Welcome, ass. I bought jewelry and bikes, nigga. Black Benzes and white Vickers. Now I'm out here and I'm looking for more chandeliers and light fixtures. Nah. I don't like niggas, what's wrong with me? I'm a high nigga, but this 44 turn a Michael Jordan. I look and say, take flight, nigga.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, a.k.a. Stat Baby, along with your hosts, Mace and Cam.
Killer, what's good, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing? Looking trendy today, man. Looking rather trendy. What's happening, man? You good?
The Knicks almost, they almost went back to the old Knicks.
Nigga, Nick hit me at halftime panicking. He definitely hit me at halftime panicking, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with the game. The Pacers lost again to the Knicks, 130-121, with the Knicks leading the series 2-0. OG Anunoby had to exit late in the third quarter after an injury. So one, what do you guys think the Pacers are lacking? And then should the Knicks be worried if Anunoby cannot return next game?
What are the Pacers missing? The Pacers are missing Paul George. That's what we talked about the other day. This might be the place for Paul George to be. They definitely was missing some more perimeter play, pause. And when it comes down to the Knicks, I just think right now everything is just falling their way. They had a few scares that really were alarming to me, because I know like guards that are that short are normally not durable. So we got to keep looking out for that. And because at any moment, if Jalen Brunson is moved out of that lineup or for any reason cannot go in the third game or the fourth game, that is a major, major issue for the Knicks. And they did have that scare. And I could see everybody believing what I was believing. This is the Knicks that would show up in the playoffs. But I'm glad they was able to overcome it and win the game. What do you think, Killer?
Yeah, you said it'd be a scare. It'd be over if Jalen Brunson can't play. Them niggas was up when he was in the game. Pause. He went out the game and they were down. It's just that simple. It's not even brain science. You gotta be a rocket scientist to know that. That nigga, they was up, I believe, 7 points. He got hurt. They was down 10 at halftime. Came back in the third quarter. Had an 18-point swing, pause. Outscored 36-18. The New York Knicks, that is, the Indiana, before the quarter was over, they were up 9 or 10 points. So big shout out to Jalen Brunson. I know we've been talking about him, not just us. Everybody's been talking about him around the NBA circles or fans or whatever. But this is well-deserved. You know, when Kyrie and Kevin Durant and James Harden, for that matter, went to Brooklyn, a lot of people was like, damn, they should have went to the Knicks. You know, not saying Brooklyn. Yeah. Brooklyn's cool. It's a new franchise.
I was one of those people.
Yeah, you know, it's not a new franchise because, you know, the Nets been in Jersey, et cetera. But it was a new franchise for Brooklyn, and it's never going to be the Garden. And KD, I get what he was trying to do, and Kyrie trying to get some momentum and do something new, but it will never be the Garden. And for Jalen Brunson to be putting this team on his back, you could see the difference in New York City when the Knicks are winning. It's like the Yankees and Mets. The Mets can win all they want. It's never going to be the Yankees. I mean, they're never going to be the Yankees. You know what I'm saying? And then also what I was realizing, that me and Church, my man Church was walking in here today, that these niggas, and if you trade anybody, you better not trade Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, or Jalen Brunson, because they know how to win. These are really the Villanova Knicks. You know, that's me and Church were saying, yo, these are the Villanova Knicks. I didn't realize until Church pointed out to me. I thought they all won one championship together, which they did with Josh Hart there in Villanova. Mm-hmm. But DiVincenzo and Jalen Brunson actually won two national titles with Villanova. And you could see their chemistry on the floor with all three of them. The Knicks look really good. Indiana, I don't know what the fuck. Bro, this don't look good for y'all niggas, man. It was a point in the game where, you know, Halliburton had 22 in the first half, and he started stinking it up as soon as Jalen Brunson came back in the second half. And Rick Carlisle actually kept the white boy in. I can't think of that backup point guard name for a good portion of time. Halliburton was on the bench for a minute. I was like, oh, he teaching them some type of lesson or some shit. And they were actually doing good, better, when the backup point guard was in. When Halliburton got back in the game, that's when the Knicks pulled away. So I don't know what to say about Indiana. I know one thing, though. The Knicks, y'all are actually two wins away from, I'm saying, okay, it's all right. It's gonna be all right.
Now, to bring the Knicks paraphernalia.
Yeah, we can bring all the Knicks paraphernalia out. Absolutely. You're two games away. Don't fuck this shit up, man. Please, I'm begging you. Don't fuck it up, bro. But yes, absolutely, the Knicks look good. And shout out to Jalen Brunson because for him to come back, you could see he wasn't 100% and still ended up getting 24 points in the second half, if I'm not mistaken. So gritty, tough competitor. I think OG, I'm not saying they don't need him. They definitely need him. With him. They need him. But it looked like more of a cramp situation. I don't know. I wasn't there. And they didn't give a medical report. But when he grabbed his leg, it looked like he might have just caught a cramp. Hopefully that's what it is. But shout out to the Knicks. Shout out to New York. And congratulations. Two more to go. And we'll see what happens when they all get to Indiana.
And then the player that you were referring to was TJ, by the way. And then in addition, just want to get you guys' reaction to this. So Shannon Sharp had tweeted regarding the game, take Nembhard off Brunson and keep TJ in the GM. All Brunson sees with Nembhard on him is oxtails, mac and cheese, collard greens, cornbread, neck bones, and a large sweet tea. Hashtag Sunday dinner. Y'all got any comments or response to that?
That sounds about right. It's definitely.
He said that about who?
He said all Brunson sees with Andrew Nembhard on him is oxtails, mac and cheese. Yeah.
Well, you see that shit with Halliburton on him too. Yeah. Halliburton defense is kind of not that good, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I mean, I dig it. Look, let me tell you something. I know the game's evolving and so on and so forth. Anytime a black player see a white nigga guarding them, that's what they're going to feel like. Don't matter. Yeah. Just the way it is, yo. Hashtag no racism or whatever, but that's just the way niggas be, yo. Nigga like, yo, move, look.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I used to get a kick out of it. Fuck is you doing up here? Then it was mad disrespectful as a point guard. I used to feel disrespected or a two guard, whatever position I play at the time. Black or white, the charm picked me up full court, man. I don't like
trying to show he got defense.
Yeah, trying to pick me up full court is gonna be embarrassing for you, bro. It's mad embarrassing for you to try and pick me up full court. I felt it was disrespectful if it wasn't a full court press.
And then moving along to another analyst, Colin Cowherd said he has an issue with JJ Redick wearing a backward hat after he was considered a candidate for a head coaching position. He said he looks like a guy that's going to move my couch. This has a lot of mixed reviews by what Colin had to say. What do you guys think of the statements that he made regarding JJ Redick?
What do you think what he said about JJ Redick?
What do I think?
Yeah.
I think it's silly. I just think that's dumb. But
just because he had his hat backwards mean he looked like he was moving his couch?
Right. To me, I don't know. I don't want to make it something that it's not, but it's one of those things that's like, that's what he said? That's how you feel? Makes me think about a lot of things differently, but.
What's his issue with J.J. Redick? Is he upset because he's getting close to getting the coaching position?
He just feels like, I guess, the way that he was presenting himself was unprofessional. Granted, I mean, he's on a casual, comfortable podcast with LeBron James. I mean, I feel like if he wants to wear a backwards hat, he can wear a backwards hat. But he's saying that's not how a head coach should be presenting themselves.
Well, he's getting the job because of LeBron. He's not getting the job because of his hat. If LeBron wants him to wear a derby, that's how he can coach with a derby on. If he's getting a job from him. I don't know what to say really about that. This seems weird.
Niggas just don't got nothing else to talk about. Yo, listen, my nigga. Why is you mad because a nigga got his hat back because he was named for possibly being the head coach? That's some old white shit. Like, yo, stop worrying about how niggas be dressing. Y'all do that with niggas too. Pull your pants up, this, that, and the third. Yo, my nigga, if I'm getting the job done, pause. Why are you worrying about how I'm dressing? This is the same reason I cursed out Bill O'Reilly. Because niggas be jumping in niggas' business. As long as niggas take care of what they taking care of, stop worrying about how niggas dress if it ain't no dress code. When niggas go over there to fucking Saudi Arabia begging for oil, do you tell the niggas take off their dashikis? Do you tell niggas take off their turban? Yeah. Nah, you don't, because you don't care. You need their money or you need their oil or you need whatever fucking favor you need from them niggas. So we sit there in our suits and the Congress or president or whoever goes over there deal with whatever the fuck they got on. Why they dress like that? Why ain't dressed like that? Oh, it's their culture. Maybe that's niggas' culture sometimes. Stop. Look, he probably been wanting to say this, and he said it because if it was somebody black, you know niggas would have went the fuck off. He's like, good. It's a white-on-white crowd. I'm going to sit here and say this finally because if I said this, niggas would have said I was racist. You just trying to, you clickbait, my nigga. The nigga went around his own business, and because he was nominated, or not even nominated, that's the wrong word to use, talked about possibly being the head coach of the Lakers. He can't wear his hat backwards. Sounds stupid, my nigga.
Maybe he thinks him wearing his hat backwards is urban and ghetto, and he didn't want him to look ghetto.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, and I'm not comparing the two, but I'm comparing another head coach. No, Staley come in with the Louis all crazy. You know what I'm saying? Louis down sneakers, Diddy bopping in. She ain't dressing like everybody else, and she wins championships. She's a champion. She be going undefeated. Are you worrying about how the fuck she dress? Fly shit. No, you're not. Stop worrying about how niggas dress and worried about if they could do the job they supposed to do.
Louis Vuitton Don. Okay, and then Austin Rivers said, I can take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. On Twitter, J.J. Watt responded saying, you don't got a job in either right now. Go ahead and try it. So first, what do you guys think of J.J. Watt's response to Austin Rivers?
I agree with J.J. Yeah, since you don't have a job with either one, go get a tryout. I would really like to see that because people throw that around, pause, because they think, oh, I'm six this, I'm six that. And what I mean by that is they have a certain height and they have a certain build. That doesn't automatically mean you could play football. Let's be clear about this. If you see how much people flop playing basketball, you see how much somebody get a hard foul and people just be acting like the whole day is ruined. Imagine playing football. Imagine running across the middle of the field and somebody 300 pounds hitting you, pause, every time. That's a total different life. I think people think because they have the physical ability to run at that speed or to jump higher than people, that doesn't mean you could actually play the game. And I wish people would stop making that comparison because that's not true. There's a reason why niggas chose basketball over football. And it's not always just because of the money. Sometimes it's because football is a different toughness. And anybody that played know what I'm talking about. Football is a total different toughness than playing basketball. Basketball is easy for niggas who play, for people who play basketball. I meant football. Basketball is super easy for people who play.
I must add, that was kind of perfect, exactly what I would say. Only thing I would say is, Austin Rivers, you're doing a lot of just almost like clickbait shit. What you really should do is go see if your father could give you a job in Milwaukee, like make your family business, how the Greek Freak brother is over there, and y'all all be one big family because he paid you a bunch of money with the Clippers when you shouldn't have got it. So they already, y'all already bucking the system. I don't even know how you became an analyst. You're still young enough to be in the NBA, to be honest with you. That's why I respect what J.J. Watt said, because not saying that niggas shouldn't start their analyst career young, but a lot of niggas like Draymond or even Pat Bev or whoever are playing and doing podcasts or whatever, but you clickbaiting, nigga, cut it out. Murder said it good enough for me, so I don't really have nothing to add on to it. That was great. That was great.
Yeah, and for the hat back comment, just the other day when they gave Jason Kidd the extension of the money, he had his hat backwards. But they ain't saying nothing to Jason Kidd.
Right, exactly.
And then regarding JJ's tweet, so after he said what he said to Austin Rivers, he then said, for the record, I could absolutely not play in the NBA. Six hard fouls is about all I could give you and call it a day. So how do you guys feel about him saying that to Austin Rivers, but then kind of coming back and being like, but I couldn't play in the NBA?
I think that J.J. Redick wants to respect other people in the NBA.
J.J. Watt.
Pardon me, I'm J.J. Redick. I'm sorry. J.J. Watt wants to respect other people in the NBA and not just shit on niggas in the NBA because this nigga made a bad comment. So he doesn't want to disrespect the craft of the sport or people who work hard to get there, because it isn't like you could just get an NBA. That's what I believe.
Yeah, shout out to him for being socially, what they call it, socially...
aware?
Coherent.
Yeah, and then last question before we move on from this subject. Is there any NFL player that comes to the top of you guys' head that you think that actually would do well in the NBA?
Terrell Owens. Shout out to Terrell. I mean, there's a few people. Terrell, I think at one time, what was that? Randy Moss. There's a few people. There's a lot of people that probably could play basketball.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think off the top of my head, but it's a bunch of people who actually just chose football over basketball, and especially in college. A lot of people could have played football or played both, and then chose the NFL over basketball. You know, Deion Sanders tell me that shit all the time. Like, no, I could have went pro, nigga. They was on me, nigga. You know, he said, yo, them niggas was on me, but you know, football, I had to do the football thing. But he talks about his basketball career a lot. And even if you go on YouTube or Google it, it's highlights of Deion and dunk contests and everything else. But I do know it's a lot of football players, and just Russell Wilson comes to mind, that played baseball as well, too. You know what I'm saying? So right now, a lot of people don't know the New York Yankees actually have the right to Russell Wilson if he ever wanted to play baseball. So, you know, Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, those are the few that come off the top of my head. But a lot of football players are great baseball players as well.
Okay, and then regarding throwing the heat pack on the court during the Nuggets versus Timberwolves game, Jamal Murray wasn't suspended, but instead fined $100,000. So in regards to a suspension and all those conversations around what should happen next for Jamal Murray, Draymond Green said, it's crazy how people just automatically start calling for suspensions these days. I just don't really understand that. But in saying that, man, Denver's down bad right now. So one, how do you guys feel about the fine that Jamal Murray is facing and Draymond Green's comments on his podcast?
Draymond is the wrong person to say this, you know? He shouldn't be bagging anybody about no suspension. When you think about what happens, it's not somebody just quickly calling for a suspension. He was throwing items on a court, and he was throwing it in the 3-second zone while players are constantly jumping for a rebound, and anybody could have landed on that heating pad, pause, and twist their ankle, tore their Achilles, hurt their knee, all of these things. And that was just very, very, very reckless. And sometimes when you're a reckless person, you can't see it when other people are being reckless. This was really reckless. They could have given them a game off. I mean, they down 2 anyway. It's not like they're going to win.
Yeah, I think Draymond wild and wanting to say that. That's a wild shit from Dre. Like, yeah, well, I don't know why they just keep wanting to suspend everybody. Yeah, he shouldn't deliver that message. But yeah, May said it right. He's 100% correct. It's a very dangerous situation, to be honest with you. I really believe the only reason he's not suspended is because they're down 0-2 and because it's the playoffs and they want more games. That, mm-hmm. You know, the more games, the more money for the NBA. I believe if this was regular season, he'd be suspended more than one game. I say it'd be 2 or 3 games that he'd be suspended if this were the regular season, but it's the playoffs. If Jamal Murray doesn't play the next game, you could basically cancel Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. It's definitely over. So they're trying to make sure that Denver gets a fair chance so they can get some victories and maybe the series will go a little longer.
Okay, and then a boxing reporter reported that Ryan Garcia has been cleared for 1 out of the 2 banned substances that he was accused of using. Ryan tweeted, "So y'all realize I didn't fail the test now. No substance other than this imaginary ostrich substance. Level so low wouldn't have any effect. They tried, but no lie stands. Praise God." Devin Haney then responded, "Levels high enough to test positive. Obviously, it would have an effect, you dirty bitch." So thoughts on their Twitter exchange before we even go into the next part of the boxing conversation, because there's more.
Man, I think we touched on this topic before. If he used a banned substance and it was enough there to be tested, like Devin said, to be tested positive, then I truly believe it was more than one item. It was about 3 tests that he failed. So this is just the one that came back positive. The other two is we got to wait to see if those are positive, because right now it's looking like is ambiguity about did he take the steroids or not, when realistically his body, Paul says that he did. The fight could have went that way either way, but his body definitely looked like he was on something, and his behavior definitely looks like he was on something. The way he was twitching, the way people were behind him telling him what to say and how to calm down and focus right now, those are all things that you know, erratic behavior that comes with PEDs.
When you say he's clear for one, what, he's positive for the other?
Yeah, like it's saying that he still has the I think it's called ostarine, but he called it ostrich substance.
You guilty, nigga. Niggas be bugging.
He failed 3 tests, but one came back negative. So he ran on X and said, "Oh, I passed the test."
Yeah, but failed the other two.
No, we're still waiting to get the results back from the other two.
Okay, gotcha.
And that won't be known to May 22nd, but okay. He's acting like he's been cleared of everything.
Yeah. Nigga. End of the day, I see why, you know, it's just what we talked about already. Like this, first of all, this is way too long to begin some damn results. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, my nigga, fight was like a month ago, my nigga. We still waiting on results. And then I understand, we talked about already, why Floyd does the test and he tests. Why are we waiting a month and a half for test results?
Like they already know if he's popped or not. Pause. Like, yo, they know that.
This ain't cold case files, nigga. You know, this ain't the first 48. This ain't the ID channel. What the fuck are we waiting for these test results for?
I think they're waiting to see if the money come in so they can say that he tested negative. You know, everybody got a price, so it's probably in negotiations to see how is this going to turn out? Because if he get tested positive, then this can mess up a lot of money for one company. If he tests negative, then it messes up a lot of money for the fights that people will want to see. I mean, because Devin would have a case if he's tested positive, the fight tank. You know what I'm saying? But if you know the dude he knocked you out, or had you on the ropes, we don't really want to see that fight.
Right.
So this is like them deciding, do Golden Boy get the nod or does PBC get the nod?
So fuck was fair.
Yeah, there's money time.
This is why I don't fuck with boxing like I used to, bro. Fuck who's fair. What's fair? Let's just see which way we can sway the money.
Yeah, nigga said, yeah. So when the fight goes through,
said
what,
made
100%
sense.
What I'm getting from it. You know, I nigga hit
you. You made 100% sense. You made me understand clearer now, and I'm like, this is why I don't really fuck with boxing like that. I mean, I fuck with it, of course, but, you know, you got Ryan on this, and you got Canelo eating these sandwiches, talking about he ain't no steroids, was in the steak sandwich and all this. All this fucking by accident steroid shit. I've never seen a by accident steroid, my nigga.
And yeah, this is crazy, man, because you got to think about it. If somebody is fighting with steroids, it's just like Barry Bonds, you know, when niggas was hitting home runs every time they got up to the plate. And niggas like, yo, I'm getting home runs too, but I ain't taking steroids. A lot of niggas feel cheated.
I think that's a great scenario, but I think boxing's even worse because a nigga life could be on the line.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's one thing hitting home runs. It's another nigga keep hitting nigga with a steroid left hook in his chin. nigga just collapsing for 12 rounds.
Yeah, so. And lately a lot of fighters been dying. There's been more boxers dying after fights. So this is definitely not a play situation, like you said.
Okay, and then now it's reported Ryan Garcia said he expects Errol Spence to be his next fight and has instructed his team to send an official offer. He had tweeted at him, please, let's run it. I will gladly destroy you and finish the job. Crawford almost did it. I will finish the job. So what do you guys think of the entire situation? Is that a fight you'd like to see? And just hypothetically speaking, who do you think will win?
Ryan is doing a hell of a job, I must say, at marketing himself. If I'm not mistaken, Killer, the nigga even said, I don't even want to call him a nigga. The young man said that he would fight. Since y'all talking about steroids, I'll fight my next opponent and allow him to take steroids. Fight me with steroids. When I saw that, I said, yo, he is wild. That's what he said. He said, he tweeted it. He said, yo, well, fight me with steroids. Since you're saying I took steroids, let's run it back with steroids. And that right there, I knew he was, either he's trolling or he's one of the best marketers of this generation.
Yeah, marketing's. Absolutely. See, that nigga was doing a rap when they did the face off with Haney, and niggas thought he was losing his mind. But I tell you one thing, I would definitely want to see that fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the coach owes, they say Errol owes the coach the money.
He's suing him.
Yeah, he's suing him. And now this Derrick is Henry. New protege. And then another time Ryan was on the gram or YouTube. Talking about he want to date Errol's girl. He's going to DM all of that and come fight me if you don't like
it. He's really good marketer.
He's very, good
very,
marketer.
Very good marketer. But, yeah, there's a lot of storylines behind that fight.
Do you think he'll beat Errol Spence? That's what I want to know.
Look, to be honest with you, I don't know. But we got to stop acting like just because that nigga be acting crazy that he can't fight. He only lost the Tank, and he lost him with a no rehydration clause. The kid is 25-1 with 20 knockouts.
Like, so do you think he beat Errol Killer? That's what I want to know.
They both got one loss. They both lost to some good niggas. It ain't like neither one of them lost to some whack-ass niggas. So I don't know.
If he got hit in the ribs by Tank and he took a knee and got up on a 10, he wasn't out. When they said 10, he got up.
Yeah. Well, he ain't won no more than pause. What I'm saying is, I get what you're saying, but that was a no rehydration clause as well.
Yeah.
If you look at that kid body pause when he fought Tank, and you look at him when he fought Haney.
Yeah.
He looked way.
It was a total different.
The body was
Mike Tyson
different.
Walked in his locker room, saw how big he was, paused, and walked right out. Mike knew he was.
He knew he was juicing.
Mike said, yeah. What was you eating, bricks? And he walked out. I said, yo, yeah. Mike knew.
Yeah.
But Mike been around it a long time. He know.
Yeah, but what I'll say is I think with the rehydration, no rehydration clause, he might get big enough. I think it was skinny Tank. Yeah. Tank hit him, and then like we had when we had Roy Jones on the show, he made a great point how Tank danced around for a couple rounds to feel him out because he ain't want to get hit with the left hook either. But
yeah,
he
was walking Tank down at first.
Right.
It looked like it was.
Right. But I think the biggest key factor that we're all missing, and we're not missing it, but to be up, is Derrick Henry, like, I know that nigga. You got him. That's the key
factor.
He
said, if you listen to me.
Yeah.
If you listen to me and you do what I tell you, you got him.
You got him. that's what I believe. I'm not saying that Ryan ain't good marketing everything. I don't think this is all solo Ryan. This is, yo, you know what, where we get that chicken and get your name back, right?
Yeah.
Arrow.
Yeah, you beat Arrow.
Yeah.
Nigga.
He come in here drunk anyway.
Yeah.
All that. So I think Derrick Henry is actually pushing the envelope and the agenda because he may see something that the rest of us don't.
Now, Arrow was my favorite fighter before he fought Terrence. Like, when it came down to him and Terrence, I liked Terrence before Arrow. But other than Terrence, I thought Arrow could beat everybody else. And this would be a good fight. Now that we're really talking it through, this would be great. It would be great for marketing and everything because we don't know what Errol is going to come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I believe Errol will come back and have a lot to say and perform very well, but we got to see it. Okay. What do you think about our fight with steroids? He said, I'll let my opponent, won't we both fight with steroids? Since steroids is the problem.
That means he's already contradicting himself because he said he don't know where to get steroids. So if you're going to get your opponent steroids, obviously you know where to get steroids at. Meaning that you're going to give, you get the steroids, I guess. Where do you get steroids, B? So for him to say that, like he just be saying outlandish shit, B.
And then speaking of another investigation, police are investigating an altercation between Pat Bev and a fan after he threw a ball at a fan in the final minutes of a season-ending loss when he was on the bench. He said, I ain't bringing a basketball on the bench no more. That threw my whole vibe off. This was the same game he made a reporter leave when he asked her if she was subscribed to his podcast, and she responded, no. So what do you guys think of the investigation that Indy is putting on Pat Bev? And then basically just the behavior that he has had basically following that game.
Well, I'll go as far as saying I love the NBA, but I don't think the investigation mean anything. Just think about the last three times they said it was investigation, right?
Well, not to cut you off. It's not even an NBA investigation. It's Indy police.
Oh, the police.
Yeah.
Police is investigating a basketball thrown.
Yeah.
Well, that's an assault, nigga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you said that about Disney, he said, okay.
What?
No, mean? I'm saying when Pat Bev said that about ESPN.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you want to play?
Yeah, yeah. First of all, I'm surprised whoever he threw the ball at just didn't fall on the floor and let an ambulance come take him out. You ever see when Dennis Rodman fell into the cameraman and kicked him? And the nigga went out on the stretcher. Yeah. That nigga got about $400,000 for that shit.
So if a person sue, who do they sue? Do they sue Pat? Do they sue Milwaukee Bucks? The NBA, they sue everybody. Yeah, Pat, you got to chill out, Pat. You're not nice like that to be doing that. You got to cut that out, Pat.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he said it himself. He was like, yo, what I did was unexcusable, but what'd he say, Murda? I'm going to give you two chances of what Pat Bev said. Whatever you think he said, why he did that. Take one guess. It's not even hard. Pause.
Give me two options. Let me pick.
It's easiest shit in the world.
he threw the ball because... He was celebrating?
Mm-mm.
What?
He didn't say the exact word, but he said, they call me something.
They call me a nigga, so
you know,
that was it?
Yeah. He ain't say nigga, he said, but he called me something that it angered me.
Oh my goodness.
You already know that nigga pulled a nigga card out quick. That's why I was like, yo, I'm just telling you, niggas call me a nigga. So that infuriated me, even though I wasn't supposed to do that. But yo, you gotta understand being called a nigga. And he didn't use the word nigga, he said a name that I've never been called before. That's the exact term he used. But
that is hilarious, on, Pat. Man. Oh man.
Yeah, so I mean, if he gonna go to court, that's gonna be his fight. But if they nobody here, you can't prove it. We'll see what happens when it unfolds though.
So if they call him nigga, is that a hate crime?
It's about if they really called him nigga. Listen. I'm gonna keep it on hand.
He know they got cameras.
If the police is involved, possible suspension from the NBA already can't go back to ESPN. They call me a nigga too. I'm definitely pulling out. They call me a nigga. Pause. That's a fact.
Okay, y'all. We're gonna go to break. When we return, we'll discuss this year's MVP. Don't go anywhere.
She called this thing about us toxic. 4 years and counting. Got you feeling like an option. Maybe I'm my own problem, babe. She tired of hearing I don't know. My stubborn in me won't fall. Dealing with this thing called trust. But she really thinking about
she wanna be free.
Welcome back. Now let's get into our Underdog Fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, the Celtics will play the Cavs. Underdog Fantasy has Jason Tatum at 7.5 first quarter points. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
That's a hard question. I'm going to go lower.
Yeah, I'm going lower as well.
Derek White is at 26.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
Higher.
Okay, and Donovan Mitchell is at 29.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Higher.
Okay, download the Underdog Fantasy app, and you can make your picks too. So Jokic won MVP, and Shaq told him to his face that he believed SGA deserved MVP over him. He also said, I don't like to rain on people's parade, but I'm not happy with this one. So I know we discussed this previous episode, but how do you guys feel about Shaq telling Jokic this on live television?
This is like, Shaq, this is like Kanye and Taylor Swift. I hope you know it. This looks like, and I love Shaq, and I love everything that Shaq has done for the NBA and all the great things he does up there at TNT and businesses and commercials and everything. So I say that from a person that is a very, very good fan of his. But when I think of this statement, because he played the same position and he wasn't able to get these same awards, I think it will be viewed as hating. I think it will be viewed, you know, pretty much like you hating on Joker. That's the only way I could see it. Because you can't say he didn't dominate. You can't say his team haven't been winning. What would be your real gripe other than you just thought somebody else was playing as good as him? But when you're playing as good as somebody who's been playing that good year after year after year after year, is, you know, you got to knock the champ out. You can't just get the title by default like that.
Proud of you today, man. You're doing a really good job today, man. See, they know what's been going on. You ain't have your iPad lately. Your iPad lately. Need to keep that with you, man. You're doing a very good job today, man, Mr. Bethman. You're doing the best I heard you pause in a few weeks, man. Very, very good job, man. Keep that iPad on set with you, man. Maybe you should keep it in the office because you're doing a superb job. Look, man, like you said, it's going to come off as hating. It's going to come off as hating. Shaq has one MVP.
Yeah.
Joker got three. Who do you think is better? And that's up to you to decide. Niggas might be like Shaq was the most dominant force ever and with only one MVP.
And now that's in question.
Right. So now, I mean, during his era, he kind of was. And one year, he kind of, I think he lost to Steve Nash, if I'm not mistaken. He was pissed about that shit. But
even if he had two, Joker now have three.
Right, right.
And
these
three is back to back.
No. Joel Embiid won last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had two. And then
and Joel. Before that, it was two, yeah.
Down pat out, bro.
Yeah, he's going crazy.
Don't fuck it up.
It's still three.
it's three. But at the end of the day, it's going to come off as hate. And I seen before last year when he was still a candidate for league MVP, I seen Boogie Cousins saying he shouldn't get it because how they going to give him three MVPs back to back? And this sets precedents of people that should be, you know, better than him or a group. We grew up watching people that was better than him that don't have this many MVPs. And I'm like, bro, not just Boogie Cousins. I'm talking about even Shaq now. It's like, I dig it. Bow. That's the new, I smoked this in. That's the new shit.
Bow. I get it.
That's the new slang. Bow.
So this would have been four.
Yes.
In a row.
Yes. Possibly.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm not mad at SGA. I think what people were more mad about when I was watching it is the amount of first place votes he got. Like the disparity between the Joker's first place votes, the SGA first place votes. Now, I'm not ain't gonna lie, it was kind of ridiculous. I forget exactly what the number was, but it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
It was like super duper far away from each other. Like it was a runaway decision.
Yeah, so Jokic had 926 total points, and then SGA had 640, and then it's Luka. So first place went 79 versus 15.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
79 to 15. So that's when I seen Shaq, he was pissed about that. He's like, come on now. But I dig it. I get it. I get it.
But we don't need Shaq out there sound like Jesse Jackson, like y'all got to get out there and vote.
Yeah. Shaq, my nigga, but I understand where Shaq is coming from because he feel maybe he should have won more when he was playing, but he didn't. But you can't get mad at the Joker's dominance. The only reason I would have voted for SGA over the Joker, and the only reason is because I was saying that it was such a close race for the Western Conference Finals, I said I would have gave it to whoever came in first.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. Besides that, I'm not mad at the Joker getting it, but I think it should have been a little closer and SGA with the votes.
But like Killer would often say, if you don't like it, nigga, do something about it. Yeah, how about that? Yeah. Next time he's in your city, do something about it.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Reggie Miller was talking about the difficulty of playing in MSG. He said, you're playing five versus eight, and you're playing the officials as well. Do you guys agree with his take?
That's a good question right there. I don't agree with it. I'm from New York. I can't agree with that. Reggie got to chill out. Reggie, as much stuff as you done in the garden, Reggie, come on now. You didn't invite it. Niggas to your privates, all that, and now you complaining. I can't go with that.
They asked Reggie, you know what's funny? I'm gonna give Nick the clips. They asked Reggie how he felt coming back to the garden.
Yeah.
With a little worry. He said, why would I be worried? I run this franchise, the Knicks, and I run New York. So what would I be scared about? And then before the game started, he was sitting at the broadcast table. Josh Hart went up to him and was like, yo, what's up? I think everybody in here said, fuck you. to Reg, just like that. And Reggie laughed. So, you know, I think Reggie wouldn't be saying this if he was commentating any other game, but he's an Indiana Pacer whole career. So, of course, he's going to have those feelings about playing against the Knicks. That's when it was real rivalries between Indiana and the New York
Knicks.
Yeah,
they hated the Knicks, and the Knicks hated them.
Right, exactly. So Reggie's from cut from that cloth, so I'm not mad at it.
And then after Rudy Gobert made records, tying for the most defensive player of the year wins at 4, he also became the oldest player to win that award at 31 years old. But before the announcement was made and we knew who the winner was, Wemby had a quote saying, "Let Rudy win it now, because after that, it's no longer his turn." So one, how do you guys feel about Rudy Gobert winning 4 the awards? 2, being the oldest player to win it. And then 3, Wemby's comment about the future of the winner of the Defensive Player of the Year award.
First, about him winning it 4 times in a row, I think that speaks volumes to his attention to details. In order to win that award, you got to be consistent at changing shots. So a lot of things that people are unwilling to do, because defense is an effort. It's an effort. It's not a skill. It's an effort. And when a person wins that award, that's because they're putting in a lot of effort. And to say that he's winning that at 31 years old, I don't think 31 is that old in the NBA, because, I mean, there's people playing to 36, 37. I mean, you look at what LeBron is doing, it's phenomenal. 31 is like, to me, 2 years away from your actual prime. So I think that's very doable for even more athletes to win that award at 32. And when I think of Wemby, saying what he said, I'm happy to finally hear Wemby say something that seems aggressive. To me, this is what we want to see more of, this so he can grow into that player that could replace LeBron, become the face of the NBA, and take the NBA where it needs to be. So this is a step in the right direction. Shout out to Wemby and the whole San Antonio Spurs. If he talk more like this, I'll be a Spurs fan again.
You're really doing, I'm really proud of you, man. You're doing a sensational job, man. I usually listen to what you say. I'm like, this nigga missed the point. He forgot this. This nigga ain't thinking about it. Pause. You're doing a really sensational job. Look, I was going to say all that. I don't think 31 is old. I'm glad Wemby is talking that shit. I was going to say that too.
Yeah.
And what was the last one?
Basically, how do you feel about Wemby's comments about the future of the winner of the defensive
player? Yeah, I was going to say, I'm glad he's talking shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy. But ain't those niggas from the same city?
Well, the same,
same place?
Bro, yeah. I don't even know the exact
Like, yeah. He talking slick to a nigga from the town, too. Like, that's what I'm saying. So I liked all that. And everything they said, I was going to say, I usually wait for him to miss a point or slip up, but he said everything I was going to say. That was a great take.
Okay, and then last thing before we wrap. So Travis Kelce, as we know, has been on a great run. He's receiving his first major acting role, joining the cast of a new horror series. So what do you guys think of this new role that he will be trying out? And then how do you guys feel about all the hype Travis Kelce is still getting?
I need to know what role he's playing in the movie, because what is he going to be playing?
I don't have the exact role, but I know the name of the movie is called Grotesquerie. So it's supposed to be a real horror film. So I don't know what he's going to do.
Horror. I think horror and comedy are probably two of the hardest things to act. I wouldn't know. Killer. What do you think is the hardest genre to do acting in? Comedy or horror?
You know, Murder, it's a good question. Next movie maybe not the next movie I do, but I want to do a movie where I'm totally out the box, like Rain Man or like the white guy in the barbershop and Coming to America, because every movie, niggas don't like giving me their credit. They be like, look at Cam acting like Cam. Every movie I fucking do, niggas know, Cam, you keep doing yourself every movie. You act like you're killing it. Every movie you're doing nothing but playing yourself. So I'm like, yo, niggas won't give a nigga credit for nothing. So next time I do a movie, I want to, you know, I want to be outside radio, something like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm not sure because, you know, when I do movies, three movies, that one movie was paid in full and we knew that everybody from Harlem knew the story. Mm-hmm. Then the other three movies, I'm not going to lie, I wrote them and produced them. So I kind of knew the characters. So I don't want to say cheating into it, but it wasn't like somebody handed me a script and I had to go off of what and be somebody else. So I'm not sure. I think comedy, of all the skits I've done and shit that I do on the internet and that goes viral and shit, I think to me, comedy is easier because it's easy for me to write it, I would say. I don't know about acting. Write it because like when I was doing this shit with Cousin Bang or whoever, I'm such an aggressive image, so to speak, that when it look like I'm getting bullied on camera, it's funny. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. That's a great question. I haven't really dove outside of the urban market yet, but that's a great question. I'm not sure. I would say comedy is easy if you ask me.
Yeah, and the reason why I said that, because this particular series that he's joining, it will be really interesting to see how he does a great job. I think he's going to do a great job, but it's going to be really interesting to see how. Because when you think of drama, he's not like a little white girl running around. You know, this is a scary movie. How is he going to be scared unless he's the killer in the movie? You get what I'm saying? So that's why I asked. If he's not the killer, then it becomes really interesting. How would a 6'1", 6'2 guy be running from, you know, unless he's a security guard or something like that? That would be really good. So I think it's a go. And it's not like they're asking me, but I think it's a great idea to expand his brand.
I'm basically, for me, anything Travis Kelce do, got an asterisk next to it till he break up with his girl, because it's going to be successful as long as he's with Taylor Swift, anything he does. You win awards at the podcast. You're going to have a hit movie. Now might win an award. Anything you do with this girl, you do in your career while you with this girl, is an asterisk next to it. And I don't care, because they cheating. Period.
Regarding the film, I think he'll play very well in a horror film role because, I mean, horror film is usually a little bit, not saying that this is going to be low budget, but it's more low budget. There's just certain elements of horror that he's not going to have to do much himself to either be, you know, not saying he has to be the killer, but he could be somebody's father whose child goes off and does, you know
he's
what I'm saying?
He's going to be protecting
He could be anything, you know what I'm saying? There's better. So many different elements. Comedy is a lot harder to actually get somebody to like laugh for certain stuff. So a little research, I have a theater minor. But I'm curious before we wrap, I'm curious as to what role you could see yourself playing, but I think would be more interesting if Cam said what role he would see you playing, and I'm curious as if it would coincide with what your image is for yourself. Does that make sense?
I don't know. I think acting is hard to do. I saw a killer on TV. I was just like, yo, that was amazing.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think after this comes out, pause, let us do take over the Bad Boy franchise.
Yeah.
That's what we got. That's perfect for both of us. We should take over after this. Y'all wrap it up, Will and Martin, and let me and Murder take over the Bad Boy franchise. And I think we would kill that.
Yeah.
That would be fire. Okay. Well, let us know in the comments what roles you guys would want to see Mace and Cam play. I'm interested to hear what you guys got to say. But that's all the time that we have for today. Thanks for watching. And as always, it is what it is.
What you want, nigga? Everything, nigga, super size. Two Big Macs. Like when they doing them 2 for 5. 2 for 5.